Chapter 4. What's the matter? What's the matter? Apostrophe apostrophe said the gentleman for whom the door was opened, coming out of the house at that kind of light heavy pace, that peculiar compromise between a walk and a jog trot with which a gentleman upon the smooth downhill of life, wearing creaking boots, a watch chain, and clean linen, may come out of his house. Not only without any abatement of his dignity, but with an expression of having important and wealthy engagements elsewhere. What's the matter? What's the matter? Apostrophe, you're always a being begged and prayed upon your bended knees you are, apostrophe said the footman with great emphasis to Trotty Veck, to let our doorsteps be. Why don't you let them be? Can't you let them be? Apostrophe, apostrophe, there. That'll do, that'll do. Apostrophe said the gentleman. Hallo there, porter. Apostrophe beckoning with his head to Trotty Veck. Come here. What's that? Your dinner? Apostrophe, yes, sir, apostrophe said Trotty, leaving it behind him in a corner. Don't leave it there, apostrophe exclaimed the gentleman. Bring it here, bring it here. So, this is your dinner, is it? Apostrophe, yes, sir, apostrophe repeated Trotty, looking with a fixed eye and a watery mouth at the piece of tripe he had reserved for a last delicious tidbit, which the gentleman was now turning over and over on the end of the fork. Two other gentlemen had come out with him. One was a low-spirited gentleman of middle age, of a meager habit, and a disconsolate face, who kept his hands continually in the pockets of his scanty pepper and salt trousers, very large and dog's-eared from that custom, and was not particularly well brushed or washed. The other, a full-sized, sleek, well-conditioned gentleman, in a blue coat with bright buttons, and a white cravat. This gentleman had a very red face, as if an undue proportion of the blood in his body were squeezed up into his head, which perhaps accounted for his having also the appearance of being rather cold about the heart. He who had Toby's meat upon the fork, called to the first one by the name of Filer, and they both drew near together. Mr. Filer, being exceedingly short-sighted, was obliged to go so close to the remnant of Toby's dinner, before he could make out what it was, that Toby's heart leaped up into his mouth. But Mr. Filer didn't eat it. This is a description of animal food, Alderman, apostrophe said Filer, making little punches in it with a pencil case, commonly known to the laboring population of this country, by the name of tripe. Apostrophe, the alderman laughed, and winked, for he was a merry fellow, alderman cute. Oh, and a sly fellow too. A knowing fellow. Up to everything. Not to be imposed upon. Deep in the people's hearts. He knew them, cute did. I believe you. But who eats tripe? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Filer, looking round. Tripe is without an exception the least economical, and the most wasteful article of consumption, that the markets of this country, can by possibility produce. The loss upon a pound of tripe has been found to be, in the boiling, 7/8 of a fifth more than the loss upon a pound of any other animal substance whatever. Tripe is more expensive, properly understood, than the hothouse pineapple. Taking into account the number of animals slaughtered yearly within the bills of mortality alone, and forming a low estimate of the quantity of tripe which the carcasses of those animals, reasonably well butchered, would yield, I find that the waste on that amount of tripe, if boiled, would victual a garrison of 500 men for 5 months of 31 days each, and a February over. The waste, the waste. Apostrophe apostrophe, Trotty stood aghast, and his legs shook under him. He seemed to have starved a garrison of 500 men with his own hand. Who eats tripe? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Filer, warmly. Who eats tripe? Apostrophe, Trotty made a miserable bow. You do you? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Filer. Then I'll tell you something. You snatch your tripe, my friend, out of the mouths of widows and orphans. Apostrophe, I hope not, sir, apostrophe said Trotty, faintly. I'd sooner die of want. apostrophe, divide the amount of tripe before mentioned, alderman, apostrophe said Mr. Filer, by the estimated number of existing widows and orphans, and the result will be one penny weight of tripe to each. Not a grain is left for that man. Consequently, he's a robber. Apostrophe, Trotty was so shocked that it gave him no concern to see the alderman finish the tripe himself. It was a relief to get rid of it, anyhow. And what do you say? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked the alderman, jocosely, of the red-faced gentleman in the blue coat. You have heard friend Filer. What do you say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what's it possible to say? Apostrophe, apostrophe returned the gentleman. What is to be said? Who can take any interest in a fellow like this, apostrophe meaning Trotty, in such degenerate times as these? Look at him. What an object. The good old times, the grand old times, the great old times. Those were the times for a bold peasantry, and all that sort of thing. Those were the times for every sort of thing, in fact. There's nothing nowadays. Ah! Apostrophe sighed the red-faced gentleman. The good old times, the good old times. Apostrophe, the gentleman didn't specify what particular times he alluded to, nor did he say whether he objected to the present times, from a disinterested consciousness that they had done nothing very remarkable in producing himself. The good old times, the good old times, apostrophe repeated the gentleman. What times they were. They were the only times. It's of no use talking about any other times, or discussing what the people are in these times. You don't call these times, do you? I don't. Look into Strutt's costumes, and see what a porter used to be, in any of the good old English reigns. Apostrophe, he hadn't, in his very best circumstances, a shirt to his back, or a stocking to his foot, and there was scarcely a vegetable in all England for him to put into his mouth, apostrophe said Mr. Filer. I can prove it, by tables. Apostrophe, but still the red-faced gentleman extolled the good old times, the grand old times, the great old times. No matter what anybody else said, he still went turning round and round in one set form of words concerning them, as a poor squirrel turns and turns in its revolving cage, touching the mechanism, and trick of which, it has probably quite as distinct perceptions, as ever this red-faced gentleman had of his deceased millennium. It is possible that poor Trotty's faith in these very vague old times was not entirely destroyed, for he felt vague enough at that moment. One thing, however, was plain to him, in the midst of his distress, to wit, that however these gentlemen might differ in details, his misgivings of that morning, and of many other mornings, were well founded. No, no. We can't go right or do right, apostrophe thought Trotty in despair. There is no good in us. We are born bad. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but Trotty had a father's heart within him, which had somehow got into his breast in spite of this decree, and he could not bear that Meg, in the blush of her brief joy, should have her fortune read by these wise gentlemen. God help her, apostrophe thought poor Trotty. She will know it soon enough. Apostrophe, he anxiously signed, therefore, to the young smith, to take her away. But he was so busy, talking to her softly at a little distance, that he only became conscious of this desire, simultaneously with Alderman Cute. Now, the alderman had not yet had his say, but he was a philosopher, too practical though. Oh, very practical, and, as he had no idea of losing any portion of his audience, he cried stop. Apostrophe, apostrophe, now you know, apostrophe said the alderman, addressing his two friends, with a self-complacent smile upon his face which was habitual to him, I am a plain man, and a practical man, and I go to work in a plain practical way. That's my way. There is not the least mystery or difficulty in dealing with this sort of people, if you only understand them, and can talk to them in their own manner. Now, you porter, don't you ever tell me, or anybody else, my friend, that you haven't always enough to eat, and of the best, because I know better. I have tasted your tripe, you know, and you can't chaff me. You understand what chaff means, eh? That's the right word, isn't it? Ha, ha, ha. Lord bless you, apostrophe said the alderman, turning to his friends again. It's the easiest thing on earth to deal with this sort of people, if you understand them. Apostrophe, famous man for the common people, alderman cute. Never out of temper with them. Easy, affable, joking, knowing gentleman. You see, my friend, apostrophe pursued the alderman, there's a great deal of nonsense talked about want hard up, you know. That's the phrase, isn't it? Ha! 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 And I intend to put it down. There's a certain amount of cant in vogue about starvation, and I mean to put it down. That's all. Lord bless you, apostrophe said the alderman, turning to his friends again. You may put down anything among this sort of people, if you only know the way to set about it. Apostrophe, Trotty took Meg's hand, and drew it through his arm. He didn't seem to know what he was doing though. Your daughter, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the alderman, chucking her familiarly under the chin. Always affable with the working classes, alderman cute. Knew what pleased them. Not a bit of pride. Where's her mother? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked that worthy gentleman. Dead, apostrophe said Toby. Her mother got up linen, and was called to heaven when she was born. Apostrophe, not to get up linen there, I suppose, apostrophe remarked the alderman pleasantly. Toby might or might not have been able to separate his wife in heaven from her old pursuits. But query, if Mrs. Alderman Cute had gone to heaven, would Mr. Alderman Cute have pictured her as holding any state or station there? And you're making love to her, are you? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Cute to the young smith. Yes, apostrophe returned Richard quickly, for he was nettled by the question. And we are going to be married on New Year's Day. Apostrophe, what do you mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Filer sharply. Married. Apostrophe, why, yes, we're thinking of it, master, apostrophe said Richard. We're rather in a hurry, you see, in case it should be put down first. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Filer, with a groan. Put that down indeed, alderman, and you'll do something. Married. Married the ignorance of the first principles of political economy on the part of these people, their improvidence, their wickedness, is, by heavens, enough to now look at that couple, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, they were worth looking at. And marriage seemed as reasonable and fair a deed as they need have in contemplation. A man may live to be as old as Methuselah, apostrophe said Mr. Filer, and may labor all his life for the benefit of such people as those, and may heap up facts on figures, facts on figures, facts on figures, mountains high and dry, and he can no more hope to persuade them that they have no right or business to be married, than he can hope to persuade them that they have no earthly right or business to be born, and that we know they haven't. We reduced it to a mathematical certainty long ago. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Alderman Cute was mightily diverted, and laid his right forefinger on the side of his nose, as much as to say to both his friends, observe me, will you? Keep your eye on the practical man. Apostrophe and called Meg to him. Come here, my girl. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Alderman Cute. The young blood of her lover had been mounting, wrathfully, within the last few minutes, and he was indisposed to let her come. But, setting a constraint upon himself, he came forward with a stride as Meg approached, and stood beside her. Trotty kept her hand within his arm still, but looked from face to face as wildly as a sleeper in a dream. Now, I'm going to give you a word or two of good advice, my girl, apostrophe said the alderman, in his nice easy way. It's my place to give advice, you know, because I'm a justice. You know I'm a justice, don't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Meg timidly said, yes. Apostrophe, but everybody knew Alderman Cute was a justice. Oh dear, so active a justice always. who such a mote of brightness in the public eye, as cute. You are going to be married, you say, apostrophe pursued the alderman. Very unbecoming and indelicate in one of your sex. But never mind that. After you are married, you'll quarrel with your husband, and come to be a distressed wife. You may think not, but you will, because I tell you so. Now, I give you fair warning, that I have made up my mind to put distressed wives down. So, don't be brought before me. You'll have children boys. Those boys will grow up bad, of course, and run wild in the streets, without shoes and stockings. Mind, my young friend. I'll convict them summarily, every one, for I am determined to put boys without shoes and stockings down. Perhaps your husband will die young, most likely, and leave you with a baby. Then you will be turned out of doors, and wander up and down the streets. Now, don't wander near me, my dear, for I am resolved to put all wandering mothers down. All young mothers, of all sorts and kinds, it's my determination to put down. Don't think to plead illness as an excuse with me, or babies as an excuse with me. For all sick persons and young children, I hope you know the church service, but I'm afraid not, I am determined to put down. And if you attempt, desperately, and ungratefully, and impiously, and fraudulently attempt, to drown yourself, or hang yourself, I'll have no pity for you, for I have made up my mind to put all suicide down. If there is one thing, apostrophe said the alderman, with his self-satisfied smile, on which I can be said to have made up my mind more than on another, it is to put suicide down. So don't try it on. That's the phrase, isn't it? Ha, ha, now we understand each other. Apostrophe, Toby knew, not whether to be agonized or glad, to see that Meg had turned a deadly white, and dropped her lover's hand. And as for you, you dull dog, apostrophe said the alderman, turning with even increased cheerfulness and urbanity to the young smith, what are you thinking of being married for? What do you want to be married for, you silly fellow? If I was a fine, young, strapping chap like you, I should be ashamed of being milksop enough to pin myself to a woman's apron strings. Why, she'll be an old woman before you're a middle-aged man. And a pretty figure you'll cut then, with a draggle-tailed wife and a crowd of squalling children crying after you wherever you go. Apostrophe apostrophe oh, he knew how to banter the common people, alderman cute. There. Go along with you, apostrophe said the alderman, and repent. Don't make such a fool of yourself, as to get married on New Year's Day. You'll think very differently of it, long before next New Year's Day. A trim young fellow like you, with all the girls looking after you. There. Go along with you. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.